You are listening to a podcast of the Geek IO Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geekio.
This week's tech news is mostly iOS related, so I'll jump through that. We'll have a quick app review. That's going to be actually on the Android side, but it is related to something they talked about for iOS 11. Then the usual entertainment stuff. There'll only be a film review. No Star Wars profile. I actually didn't get a chance to look into anything this week. But I'll try and catch up for next week. But that will be that. So I will jump right into this week's episode. So to start it off with the theme, it's prepaid expenses. So these are balance sheet entries to reflect goods or services that will be received in the future, and you're basically prepaying to receive those at some point. These are initially received as an asset, but they're moved to the income statement in order to reflect receiving that good or service of value. So you're moving it from that prepaid expense to wherever it needs to be allocated, whether it's a product or a monthly service like insurance or something that you're receiving it, you're receiving the value over time. You recognize that when it can be actually tied to that benefit received from the expected revenue. So the best example is monthly insurance. So let's say you prepay that insurance for a year. You're going to mark it as a prepaid expense because you're prepaying for the year. But every month as you get, recognize that insurance, so as the bill comes due or as you actually use that insurance, you're going to mark off how much of that insurance you've used, so your prepaid expense correctly shows how much is left, and then your insurance also shows how much you've used so far for that period. You make in order to make sure you reflect that property, you enter adjusted entries in order to correctly reflect and allocate those expenses over time. So whether it's over 1 month, so you're prepaying for a month or a year or 10 years, whatever amount you're prepaying, you're going to make adjusting entries only for those period, for the amounts for that period that you're making note of. So everything is reflected correctly and you know that that prepay expense was incurred for whatever amount was actually incurred. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Google Hangouts for iOS got an update to now support showing voice calls on the lock screen. So this uses the, I forgot which API was on iOS, in iOS, but it will, it makes use of that now. As far as iOS 11 goes, it's coming in fall of 2017 with more accessible stickers and messages, Apple Pay support in iMessage with person-to-person payments. So kind of along the lines of person-to-person payment in Gmail and Hangouts. A smoother voice in Siri, so it sounds more natural and human-like. HEVC in the camera, so basically this allows for better compression, the HEIF photo format instead of JPEG, and improved low-light pictures. It also has more controls in Control Center, so I'll talk about that more when I get to the app review for this week. Lock screen, or and then also those controls are also available in lock screen and the notification center. Maps is getting an update for lane guidance, do not disturb while driving, AirPlay 2 support in HomeKit, a redesigned app store which includes today, games, and apps. So it should be easier to get things you like and have a better UI. ARKit, which is support for augmented reality, opening the dock from anywhere in the iPad Pro, as well as the all new Files app. So a number of improvements, nothing... I want to say it's one of those intermediary upgrades, nothing too great or not great. The only thing that is of note for me probably is that payments in iMessage, which I'm guessing is not really cross-platform unless you use a Google service. And then the camera improvements, I'm not sure. I have to still read more about that HEVC, see if it's a proprietary thing or a cross-platform thing that can be utilized in other platforms and camera apps and things like that, see if it's actually better or not. And then as far as other news though, Monument Valley 2 was released for iOS as part of an exclusive there, so Android version of course is coming soon, so as soon as it's available for Android, I'll do that review there. And finally, Samsung's internet browser was released to Google Play. It runs on the Chromium engine, so it does incorporate some common features with Chrome. It's currently only compatible with the Google Nexus devices running Android 5 and above, so it is kind of limited, but we'll see if it gets opened up to other devices or all other devices eventually. So with that, I'll jump into this week's app review, and this week is going to be an app called Tiles. So what this does is for Android devices, and I will say in air quotes there, or with an asterisk, Android 7 and above. I'm not sure as far as compatibility for Android 6. But basically what Tiles lets you do is lets you create custom quick setting tiles for your Android device. So the app that I review in the video is called Tiles. There's also, and that's available for 99 cents. There's also a free version made by a different developer called Nougat Quick Settings, I believe, which has a similar thing. It doesn't seem to have as many features and as many services that you or features that you can create quick setting tiles for, which is why I use Tiles. But basically, what the idea is the same. That let's say you want to create a shortcut to an app, or to maps, or to lock your screen, or something along those lines. Then Tiles lets you toggle that feature and create the tile in your quick settings panel. So all you have to do is swipe down twice, click on the tile, and it does whatever that action you want it to do. And then also does things like let you control your active display, create a timer, launch a calculator, launch maps, so it automatically, so you don't even have to go to your maps app. You just have to swipe down twice and launch it. So it's kind of like creating a shortcut in your quick settings toggle for a variety of different apps. So if you don't want anything on your home screen, or you prefer to not have too many apps, or there's certain apps that you constantly use that you are not necessarily constantly use, but use enough where you don't really need a shortcut on your home screen, that's where that's where Tiles comes into play, and it does a good job. The only issue I kind of had was with the lock screen tile, where locking your screen a bunch of times in a row doesn't necessarily, or it stops working after doing it a couple of times or a few times in a row. So it's kind of weird. So I don't know if it's a accessibility setting or just a limitation of the APIs or something along those lines. So it's kind of weird. So I didn't really like using it for that, but if you do want the other features there, then they seem to work pretty nicely. So for me, things like calculator, a timer, and maps seem to work out the best. So I'll have a link in the show notes to the video review, and then a link in the video show notes for the app in Google Play. But it's Tiles, or if you do quick settings or anything like that, it'll come up in Google Play. So it's definitely worth checking out, and it's along the lines of what I think it's been out since before iOS added a customized tile or control center thing in iOS, where control center now shows more toggles that you can use to turn on and off and have accessibility to things like flashlight, calculator, airplane mode, and things like that. So you have that same feature set for your Nougat quick setting, so it's definitely worth checking out. So the app is called Tiles, and it's available for 99 cents in Google Play. So with that, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. So to start it off with a bit of news, if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, then The Last Tycoon is getting its full season on Amazon Prime starting July 28th. This is the show where it's about a movie studio that is seeing its heyday, and there's now a power struggle going on between the existing management and a newcomer to the company that's basically the new hotshot. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch American Gods Season 1, Episode 6, The Murder of Gods, Fear the Walking Dead Season 3, Episodes 1 and 2, the premiere of Season 3, and actually it was a pretty good episode and a good improvement as far as where they're going with the show itself. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 21, Destiny Calling. This is a Season 3 finale, and we have a good reveal there as far as the Bruce Wayne character is going, and as far as the boss to the monk guy, so a good reveal there. And then I had a chance to watch Better Call Saul Season 3, Episode 8, Slip, so we kind of see the issues with Chuck and his improvements, as well as Jimmy and him trying to make his money. So for this week's film review, I'm not actually going to be reviewing Wonder Woman. I wasn't actually feeling that great last weekend, so I didn't get a chance to see it. But the plan is to see it this weekend. I'm still not 100%, but I'm mostly there. My voice is still a bit iffy, and that's about it. So the current plan is to watch it this weekend, so I should have it reviewed for next week. But from what I hear, the movie is being rated really well, and it is a really good movie. So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's review. And for this week, I wanted to review The Matrix Saga. So I did buy it a couple of weeks ago for the Memorial Day sale, and I finished watching the Animatrix as well as all the Matrix trilogy. So I'll start off with the watching order of the films and then my general thoughts. So I would recommend watching the Animatrix. I would say watch all of it except for Final Flight of the Osiris. So I'm say doing that because it is the collection of animated short films as far as the backstory of the Matrix universe, the original war between the man and the machines, and the creation of the Matrix. Then I would recommend watching the Matrix itself. So we have the origin of Neo as the One, the crew of the Matrix, and the current state of affairs in this universe. Then I would recommend watching the Animatrix, or Final Flight of the Osiris from the Animatrix, mostly because it deals directly with the events in The Matrix Reloaded, which is next up. So this is where the Neo and other rebel leaders learn about the destruction of Zion, or the impending destruction of Zion, and that they have 72 hours to figure out how they're going to defeat them or what's going to happen in dealing with the 250,000 probes. And then we have Neo learning more about his powers. This sort of deals with kind of the intricacies of the Matrix and what's going on there as far as the people trying to escape. So the Matrix and the Matrix Reloaded kind of deal with a lot of the themes in the Animatrix. So it kind of, the Animatrix answers a lot of questions and what's going on, people trying to get out of the Matrix, people who want to go back into it, and all of that. So that's why I recommend watching most of the Animatrix first, because it kind of brings you into the universe, and then the Matrix and the Matrix Reloaded continue that. And then we rounded out with the Matrix Revolutions as far as the final fight between Zion and the machines, and then the final fight between Neo and Agent Smith. So we see in the Matrix Revolutions how Neo gets the sight of the gold, or everything turning gold, I guess, and in that kind of beacon. And we see that in the Matrix, or in the Animatrix, with the guide lady who's all in gold. So it's kind of, the One becomes that bridge between the machines and the humans, and then Agent Smith is the reverse, where he's between the machines, and or Neo is the humans to machines, and Agent Smith is machines to humans. So they're the counter to each other and how they bridge that gap. And then Neo actually, I guess, while the architect is that bridge where the machines have been grown over time with each iteration of the Matrix, I guess Neo, which is not really shown well, but he becomes a progressive evolution of the prior ones and his learning how to save everybody and actually end the war itself. So overall, it's I guess that's my watching order of how I would make the Matrix sequels a lot better than they are. I know the Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions are not held up to par, and it should not be that we have to watch the Animatrix to enjoy them. But since they released Animatrix, and there's, to me, enough information to make the Matrix trilogy proper worth it, that would be my recommendation for watching the films. So, The Matrix got a rating on IMDb of 87%, The Matrix Reloaded is 72%, and The Matrix Revolutions is 67%. So, I would rate The Matrix rate is about right, but as far as Reloaded and Revolutions, I would put them closer to 80%. So, while not as not as good as The Matrix itself, they are made that much better with the incorporating the information from the Animatrix. As far as the Animatrix goes, it has a rating of 74%. That I would say is about on par. The episodes, while, or the each storyline in the Animatrix, they're not all good. I some are better than others, so it sounds about right, but it does fill in enough backstory to make it that much more interesting. So that's basically all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at patelN01. You can find video reviews on YouTube at youtube.com/patelN01. And of course, you can find subscription links, social media links, past episodes, and all of that good stuff on the website at patelN01.com. And of course, if you like this show and want to find more shows on the Geek IO Network, be sure to visit the website at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.